Welcome to the weekly webcast. This message is brought to you with practical help for daily living from Pastor Bill Chacon. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. Some Christians hold the view that there are many ways to heaven. However, the blame must be laid at the feet of preachers who fail to speak the truth from the pulpit because they want to fit in with the changing norms of society. Many years ago, Pastor Bill reached a low part in his life and was contemplating suicide because he had taken his eyes off the Lord. Bill learned at the bottom of the pit that he could get a hold of Jesus. He found his connection to real life, not the fantasy of lies advertised by the devil. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Focus on Jesus, and he will lead you through your problems. Now, let's join Pastor Bill as he begins today's message.
I stand up here before you today, and I'm a miracle. And I'll be talking about that a little bit as we go on. But Pastor called me yesterday and told me of all the people here that were sick and made it very difficult for the ministry to function the way that it's normally been functioning here. And that's what Satan tries to do. He tries to take and silence the voices that are preaching the gospel. And when he asked me to do it, you know, my wife has been sick, and thank you all for praying for her. And I thought about it, and I said, you know, I think of the things that this pastor has done for me and the things that the love that he showed me and his wisdom, how he encouraged me when I was down. I was in the pit. I had graduated from a Bible college. I was everything that I thought that was going to, when I walked out of those doors of that Bible college, I thought life was going to be handed to me on a silver platter and everything was going to just be wonderful and I would never have any problems again. Well, that was just the beginning of my problems. It seems like everything caved in. You know, the devil said, no, I'm going to stop this guy. And he tried. And there was a time when I was going down the road. I was going through a hard time with my marriage. My business had failed. I'm going down the road, and I saw this little church over on the side of the road there. And it was called the Resurrection Life of Jesus Church. And somehow I was headed for the beach. I was going to go party it up and just continue on down the road, running from God, running from the things that he had called me to do. And somehow my vehicle turned into this church. And I met a group of people that prayed for me. And somehow, when I was in that church, I just felt God's presence. And I felt that God was trying to direct me back to where I belonged. And I feel that same presence in this church here today, though it's going out by these sound waves and you're viewing it. God is with you there. And God is here. And I can feel that presence. It's a beautiful thing to be in the presence of the Lord. It's a scary thing to be running from him and to be out of his presence. But I was going that direction. And it's in the Gospel of Matthew. I'm going to start with this. If you look in chapter 7, in the Gospel of Matthew, and we start in verse 13. And Jesus says these words, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many are they be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it." Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your beautiful words, Lord God, today. And I pray that you would touch me. Lord, that you would touch me with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that I would speak the words that you would have me to speak today to your people. I thank you for those that are listening, that are watching, that are here. Lord, I pray a blessing on them, and I pray that your word would bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Those words were what I put in that song, because I believe that the gate that is wide and the many that go there are those that have been seeking God in the wrong places. Seeking God through the wrong venues. Trying to find Him but not really finding Him, because the truth has not been spoken. God speaks about that. These are believers, I believe, that have been led astray. Have been led astray by some of the preaching that's going on today, and from pastors that bend to public ridicule and public desires instead of staying with the Word of God. I did a little study on this once, and so many studies that have been done on this, but one of them that just recently that I remember is, it was a theological study by Religious Views and Practices poll, professing Christians between 18 and 39 believe that Muhammad, Buddha, and other religious figures are the way to salvation. You know, in Acts 4:12, it says that there's no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. A Christian Post said there has been a drop in those who hold a basic biblical worldview, such as the sinner's nature, the sinless nature of Jesus. Many Christians today believe that He was not sinless, though it says that He was without sin. We know that to be a fact. And such things as salvation, as mentioned in above, and the percentage has dropped from 47 to 25% of those Christian believers that believe these heresies and these lies. That's a 50% drop in the last 10 years. And it's still going. And it states in that study that the reason for this is because the preachers are not preaching the gospel according to the way God wants it said. And these people are focused on social media and other content that's more compelling. And it's a horrible result that's going to happen. The consequences were found in Matthew 7:18. If we look at 7:18, we see Jesus said, "A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." You know, I've seen so many ministries. I've been as an evangelist. I go to a lot of different churches. And I see a lot of preaching, a lot of different beliefs among people that profess to be Christians. And I'm saddened, because as I watch what is being said and I compare it to what the Word of God says to me and what I've heard through this ministry, it's very depressing. Because somehow this world has become very soft and very tolerant of things that God did not want to take place. When I was in that backslidden state, I pulled into that church, and Pastor John Terrell took me by the back of my neck and lifted me up and sat me down, and he told me what I needed to do. What I needed to do was get back into the Word of God and listen to it. Listen to what God is saying to me in His Word. And He took me all the way back to the book of Leviticus, somewhere I didn't want to be. And He showed me that God had certain ways that he wanted us to live, but more than that, it was for a good reason. He showed me how the different foods and the different things that God had put into categories that we were not to participate in and things that we were not to do were things that I was doing and things that I believed were all okay. And he took me back to that point where I started from scratch, literally. Oh, yeah, I had graduated from Bible college. Yeah, I was real knowledgeable in the Word, but I wasn't living it. And I really wasn't as knowledgeable as I thought I was. When he took me back there, I realized that God had basic things that he wanted me to do. Basic principles that I needed to live by. And I needed to live by those principles so that I would be the way that I was supposed to be. And that was with a clean spirit and a direction toward him, instead of seeking things of my own, that I had my desires that I wanted, because those all led to destruction. The song I sang, I talked about roads. I went down many roads. Many roads, I was, one road that I always pursued was music and rock and roll. My great hero was Elvis Presley when I was a little boy. From when I was a child, I literally worshipped Elvis Presley. And God said one day to me, he says, I'm going to let you meet Elvis Presley. I'm going to let you work with him. I'm going to let you get to know him. And I want you to learn something. Now, I didn't know that, and I didn't understand those words, because those words only came clear after I met Elvis. What I met was a man who was miserable. He was lonely. He was one of the most powerful names of all time. He still is. And yet, I met a lonely man. I met a lonely man who only got satisfaction when he was through with his great performances and people screaming at him and worshiping him. He only got satisfaction when he went after his shows and sat down at a piano and played gospel music and went back to the Lord, returning to where he knew and where he belonged. And going in that direction was where I had tried to go and I was wanting to go. But when God showed me this direction and the end results, I put that verse in that song. My dreams were ice castles that melted in the sun. Because those kind of dreams are fallacies. They're worldly desires that lead nowhere. And the end result is destruction. Like the trees that God said, if they don't produce fruit, they're cut down. And God said to me, when Pastor Terrell took me under his wing and said, I'm not going to let this tree be hewn down. I'm going to let this tree produce fruit. And it turned my life around, just studying the basic principles that God had showed me. And I wasn't paid attention to them. And started understanding why he wanted me to do certain things, to be obedient. He said in his word, obedience is better than sacrifice. And to be obedient to God is what he wants from us. And the consequences are, if we're not, we will be hewn down one way or another. And we will not be able to produce. We will not be able to produce that fruit that God wants us to produce. This ministry has been attacked many different angles. I've seen it grow and shrink, and now it's grown again, I see, and it's in a direction. But it's always been, the devil has not wanted it to go out, but God has wanted it to succeed and go out to all those listening worldwide. It's amazing what God can do with a few people if they're determined and if they're focused on him. He changed my music. He changed my path. He changed my direction. before I met Pastor Terrell. I was sitting in a room. My business had failed. I had just gotten married. I saw no way out financially. I saw no way that I could go. People were disappointed in me. My business had failed. I felt like a failure. And my wife was going to work early in the morning, and I sat down at the edge of my bed. And I said, Lord, I says, I'm a failure. I said, I have no direction. I have no hope. Woe is me. And I pulled out a pistol, and I was going to do myself in. I was going to end it. I said, well, you know, if I've made people miserable, I'll just check out, Lord, and I'll go be with you. And then all their problems will be solved, and so will mine. As I sat there, it was a dark room, and there was a TV over there. And all of a sudden, it became very loud. Somehow, that volume turned up, and there was a minister at the end, sitting at the end, and he sat up, and he said, there's someone out there that wants to take their life. Don't do it. God loves you. God hears your cry. And it was like God was speaking to me directly. And all of a sudden, I just put the gun down, and I sat there for a minute, and I go, wow. I said, Lord, are you really listening to me? Somehow, I had lost that focus on him. I had lost my focus on him. I took my eyes off of him. I put it down. There was a knock at the door. I said, whoa, here comes the DA coming to get me. Another fine, another threat. And I opened the door, and there was a little short pastor standing there, and he had his Bible in his hand. He looked up at me, and he said, is your name Bill Chacon? I said, yes, it is. He said, well, I got a call and said you needed prayer. I said, oh, wow, do I? I invited him in, and he sat down and prayed with me. What this is all about is the fact that God sees us during these times. If we focus on him and trust him, nothing is impossible. This ministry is an example of that. Nothing is impossible. This pastor has focused on Jesus and getting his word out, and he's going to do it no matter what the devil tries to throw at him. The Apostle Paul went through many trials and tribulations. He said he gloried in his tribulation because tribulation works patience, patience, hope. And in this trials is where we learn that God is with us. It's through our turmoils that we learn that God is with us. I learned in the bottom of my pit that I could get a hold of Jesus and he would pick me up and pull me out of there and guide me through. Today, I have everything that I have ever desired in life because I focused on him. Things I never would have even imagined. I have peace with God. I turn my music that I love, I turn it over to him, and I try to spread his word through my life and through my music. Instead of trying to attract thousands and thousands of people to admire me and to say, wow, aren't you something? Because it's more important to me for my Lord to say, you're something, than all the people in the world. Because of what he's done for me. And that's really what our life is really all about. It's being a testimony of what God has done in our life. I know some of you here, and I know what you've gone through. I know that you've gone through a lot. But I see that God has pulled you through it. And God is not finished with you. Pastor has always told me that. He looked down at me when I was down in the pit and he says, God's not done with you. I didn't believe him. But he was right. God wasn't done with me. He's not done with us as long as we focus on him and we're trees that bear fruit. We bear fruit for God, for Jesus. As long as we do that, our tree will blossom. Our tree will blossom until that last breath. Our tree will blossom and will produce that fruit that God wants. There's no happiness in the worldly things. The Apostle Paul said he was into more into religion than anybody. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews, Pharisee of all the things, until he ran into the Lord face to face. And once we come to face to face with the Lord and come to that realization that he gave his life for each and every one of us, that realization is what changes us. That realization is what allows us to open our hearts and let him in here and work with us from here out. I feel bad for those that have no hope. You know, this season that coming up now is a season that celebration of our Lord's birth. We don't know exactly the day he was born. I guess we could probably figure it out, but that's not what this is all about. The fact is that he came here to this earth. He died for us. He gave his life. And to give us hope. That's what it's really all about. And just to think that he would do that for us, and to do that for me, is something that I never ever understood. And until we realize that and get that understanding of what we mean to God and what God means to us, that relationship, we'll never have hope. And this is one of those seasons where most people take their lives. It's a depressing time. And I studied psychology for 7 years, graduated with my degree in psychology, but I never really knew anything that was real until I started reading The Great Counselor and his words. When I learned who Christ was and what he did for me, is when my life started to bloom, and my tree started to produce fruit. Elvis was only 42 years old when he died. He died a lonely man. Very wealthy, but a lonely man. But I believe God took him because of his misery. From a child, he loved the Lord. He loved the Lord. His mama taught him everything, took him to church. That's where he started. But this world made him empty. The desires of this world will make you empty. It'll create a void inside of us if that's the direction we decide to go. This teachings that are going on today from the pulpit, where anything goes, everything's A-OK. That's pretty sad. It reminds me of when I was in those psychology classes and they were telling me, I'm OK, you're OK. That was the philosophy that was going on. I'm OK, you're OK. I found out I wasn't OK. No, I wasn't OK. Without God, we're not OK. I found out I wasn't OK. God told me I wasn't. Until he came and made me okay. That's the true counselor. I write many songs about counselors, about counseling, and I do want to say one thing, that many of those psychology's great names, Freud, and some others that came to the realization that they were wrong about where life started, all these things. There was a time when I chased the hidden link, the missing link in life. I wanted to be the one that found the missing link. I wanted to be a great psychologist, scientist, I could find that missing link that everybody's looking for. Well, the missing link was the link that I had with the Lord. That was the missing link. And when I found that link, I found my connection, my connection to life, real life, not a fantasy life of lies. You know, Pastor was very instrumental in helping me write my book on my life. And I'm going to encourage you to grab it. It kind of shows where I came from, my poverty days. And I'm sure a lot of you can share that, of how you were impoverished in your days. And I thank God I was poor. I thank God that I had a poor family, because God taught me to appreciate things. God taught me to seek and appreciate things. But it also taught me to seek Him and appreciate Him. That's what it taught me. It's amazing how these roads that I write about, how they really intertwine. And God said, the steps of a righteous man, that means man and women, are ordered of the Lord. We don't understand that until we come to that realization of who He is and what He did for us, and accept Him into our lives, into our hearts, to change us, to go in the direction that He wants us to go. It's a beautiful life with the Lord, because we have hope. When these times hit us like this, like that song that pastor wrote, when the storms of life are raging, and they're going to be all around. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He said, I've overcome the world. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for overcoming this world and showing us that this is just a temporary sojourning place for us, that we have hope, and our hope is in Him. When I learned that God loved me, well, it was one of the hardest things for me to accept, was that God loved me. One of the hardest things for us to accept, especially when we know deep inside we're not very good. The hard thing to accept is love, true love, agape love, the love that comes from God. How could God possibly love me? That was my whole outlook on life. God can't love me. I was wrong. God does love us. Wow, to give your life for one, each and every one of us. That's the understanding that we need to realize in order to really appreciate what God has done for us. The consequences of being a fruitless tree are to be hewn down. And I thank God that He did not allow me to have my roots cut and me to be cast down into the ground, but to help me, to lift me up and put me in front of those that need, and those that are in need. Because the Apostle Paul, what an amazing, amazing man the Apostle Paul was, to be taken from where he came from being a murderer of those that professed Christianity, that professed this Jesus Christ, be taken from that to be a man that said that we have faith and we have hope and we have love. And the greatest of these is love. Wow. This was a warrior that used to literally have people murdered if they believed in this Jesus Christ. God can change our hearts. That's what God does. He changes our hearts. It isn't going to happen if the knowledge. The prophet said, how will they hear unless a preacher is sent? How will they hear unless the word is spoken? And how will they know if someone is not sent? We're all sent to do that. God has given us a great, great love. A great love that we need to share with others. Sometimes the hardest people to share it with are those that reject Him. But God reminds me and says, you rejected me. For 28 years you rejected me. But I pulled you through. He drug me through a war in Vietnam. I used to lay there in that bunk and listen to the bombs go off and wait for the next one to hit. And I'd cry out to God. I didn't know Him, but I cried out to Him. But I cried out to him, and I made a deal with him. I said, God, you get me through this, and I'll do everything you want me to do. I'll do whatever it takes. Well, guess what? I wasn't honest with God. He got me through it, but he saw my future. I stumbled and got out of there and came back, and I went every direction that I wasn't supposed to go. But he allowed me to do it, to find out that those roads lead to nothing. And sometimes God does that with us. But he made his word good. He got me out of there. And now I have to make my word good to him, because I know he's real. You see, when I was there, I didn't know he was real. I was just hoping he was real. I was hoping that God really was there and listening. I didn't know for sure. But he showed me he was. And since that time, I've faced major surgeries where the doctors come in and look down at you and says, I need you to sign this paper here because you may not make it through. Oh, thank you. You know, you may not make it through. So you need to sign this. And I looked at it and I said, okay, can I have a few moments with the Lord here? You know, reminds me of this woman that went in and she went into heart surgery and she sat lay down there and the doctor came in and said, we have a serious situation here. We're going to have to do surgery on you and, you may not make it. And so she says, well, give me a moment with the Lord. So the doctor went out and she sat there and she prayed and she said, oh God, she said, is this the end? Will you give me more time? And God said to her, he says, I'm going to give you 25 more years. She said, 25 more years? Wow. So this time, the doctor came back in after he got through the surgery. She had a few other surgeries. She had a little tummy tuck, a little facelift, had her hair all done, hair extensions, got all done up. 25 years, huh? She's getting all dolled up. Well, she walks out of the hospital. She walks out in the front of the hospital, and here comes a truck and ran right over her. She got to heaven, and she says, Lord, she says, what happened to the 25 years? And the Lord looked down at her and says, oh, I didn't recognize you. You know, we have to keep our promises. You know, Solomon said, you know, he says, it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow with God and break it. Don't make a vow with God and break it. I made a vow to God, and I broke it. So he allowed me to suffer. He allowed me to go through things to get my attention. When he got my attention, he changed my whole life. And it was right there in that church when Pastor Terrell put his hands on me and prayed with me. From that time on, I hit all kinds of, bumps in the road. Bad ones. My wife and I were going through a divorce. When I went to that church, I was sitting in my office and I had to go out and check on my guys. I had a business going, pretty good business going now, and went out and got in my truck and I pulled out somehow and I got to the street and I put my foot down and didn't hit the brake, it hit the gas. And I went out into the street and I hit this little old lady. I pulled out in front of her and she hit my truck and just demolished her car. And I jumped out of the car and I was looking at it and I looked in there and poor lady had her legs were all cut up and the dashboard was all, everything was hanging out of it and her car was a mess. And I go, oh Lord, what have I done now? Well, how did that happen? I didn't even know how it happened. So the cops came and took a report and asked her if she wanted to do anything to press charges against me. And she goes, oh no, it's okay. I'll be okay. I said, all right. So I went back and sat in my office. And I sat there and I thought for a minute. I says, I gave him my insurance information. And I said, well, wait a minute. I don't even know if I have insurance. That was my insurance. My wife was the insurance agent. Well, she was, it was her, she was, she worked for the company. And so I decided I better call my wife and find out. And she says, no, you don't have insurance. I said, oh, great. Now what? I said, this is, I'm down here with this pastor and I'm working in the church. I'm leading worship. I'm doing all these things. And now this happens. I says, God, where are you? And I called him and I says, I'm in a pickle again. He says, well, come down to the church and let's pray. So I went down there and he prayed. I went back to my office and I sat there and my wife called me. Now this, did you understand? We were going through a divorce and she called me and first time her words are softened toward me. And she asked me if I had gotten an accident. I said, yes. And she kind of, you could see her tone of voice changed. And she kind of had a little compassion for me all of a sudden, you know. And I said, but that's all right. I'll get through it somehow. Well, to make a long story short, that was the beginning of her and I reuniting. And the pastor had always told me, as we were in that church, he'd pray. And he'd say, one day your wife is going to walk back through those doors right there. And I said, you don't know my wife. She's not going to come through those doors. He says, God told me she would come through those doors one day before your divorce is final. And we prayed. First of all, God took care of the accident thing. The whole thing was, I never seen anything work like this. You know, I should have, you know, I was in the wrong. I should have probably lost my license, my business, and everything because of what happened. And all I did was they had misspelled my name. They got the wrong guy. And they sent this notice out. And the pastor was praying one day. I'm not sure if you were there, Satiris. You may have been there. He was praying. And he said, the Lord spoke to me and said, you are to write that insurance company a check for the full amount. And I did. And I wrote the check for the full amount, which was every penny I had in the account. And it paid the whole bill of what had happened, and no more questions were asked. That was a miracle, because it really wasn't that big a bill, but it was everything I had. It was to the exact, almost to the exact dollar. And before 6 months was up for that final day for our divorce to be final, my wife walked through those doors, and we reunited and renewed our vows. Those are things that God did, and he did it because he knew that I would finally come around to focus on him and do things that he wanted me to do for him and for his glory and for his kingdom. Because everything else that we do here is going to burn. Everything that we work for and strive here for, if it doesn't have God in it, if it isn't of the Lord, it's worthless. And it takes a long time for us to realize that. Sometimes into our 40s, where I was with it. But thank God he did it before it was too late. And I just want you to understand something today. That these words that I speak to you are not because God only loves me. It's because God loves each and every one of you that will listen to his word. And each and every one of you that will turn to him and trust him and believe in him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, it says. But you'll be saved for eternity. But if we just understand that in our little brains and receive it in our heart. The apostle said, if we confess with our mouths, that's one thing. But he says to believe it in our heart that God rose him from the dead. It's a heart situation. It's a heart situation that we have to, God has to deal with these hearts of ours. Because up here, Jesus said that the carnal things, the carnal mind cannot understand the things of God. Doesn't understand the spiritual things. Somebody was talking to me the other day about how confusing, you know, the Bible is. It's not confusing. It's if we read it with a carnal mind. We have to open our spiritual minds, our spiritual hearts, and believe in God. Believe everything that he says. Trust in what his word is saying and receive it spiritually. We'll never understand it up here. It's here where we understand what God's word. And sometimes he has to allow us to get into a pit and look up and reach up and grab him and hang on to him before we realize he's real and he's there for us through each and everything. I want to try to close this up here. You know, I never know where God's going to tell me to speak, what he's going to tell me to say. Pastor called me yesterday and I go, oh, God, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? So I start reading the Bible and, you know, looking all over things, and he gives me all kinds of stuff. Once he gives it to me, though, he touches my heart and tells me, speak from your heart. Who you are, what you are, what I have done for you, and what you can do for, what you will do for others. These, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. It takes a rocket scientist in here. This is where our spiritual mind is here. Our spiritual eyes are here. You know, there's a song called, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. The world today is going in the wrong direction. And it's because we have not opened our heart eyes to God. There's an evil in this world that's taken it down a direction that is not a godly direction. In this ministry, you learn all about that. You learn in the direction and who is behind it all. And it's pretty complicated. I studied it for 7 years under Pastor Terrell. And it was complicated to me. But it's the truth. But God said to me to focus on him. To focus on him. All these things are going to happen. But he says, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. And no matter where we are in his timetable, Pastor will probably be able to tell you better than me, where we are in his timetable of all these things that are happening, it looks pretty close to me, but no one knows the time or the hour. I have to focus on him, and we have to focus on the Lord. Keep our eyes upon Jesus, to focus on him, and he'll lead us through all these things. But I'll close with the same scripture that I started with. If we look at verse 21 of chapter 7 of Matthew. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? In thy name have we done many wondrous works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The question I give to you today is, are we listening to him? In Revelation it says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. Today God is speaking to us that though the world is going in one direction, we must go in his direction. We must go in God's direction. No matter what the world, we can tell them, we can show them, and we can preach the gospel, preach it true and clear. And if they don't receive it, that's between them and God. Thank God when I sang in that song. Follow me, he said, for I am the way. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction, and many are they that find it. But narrow is the way that leads to righteousness. And I pray for everyone here today that's listening and watching and is here today, that you seek that narrow way. Amen. It's not always the easiest way. Lord knows that, and he knows that we're going to know it. But it's the right way. It's the narrow way. It's his way. Not the world's way, but his way. I cannot be more thankful for my life than I am for today. Because I know this, that no matter what happens, no matter what is dished out to me or to us, by trusting in God and trusting him and seeking him and following him and staying pure to his word, everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right, no matter what the world chooses to do. And I just want to thank you all for listening to me today. I thank Pastor for allowing me to come and speak, sharing a little bit of my life with you, sharing a little bit of my music with you. You can get some of my music through the ministry here, they have it available. You can also get my book here and read some of my my troubles and trials and tribulations and my road to where it finally led me. And I think a lot of you identify with much of my life. I've been up here and I've been down here. You know, life is like that. Up here sometimes, down here. But down here, that's where I saw God. That's where I held hands with Jesus. That's where I reached out and grabbed him and he brought me up here. Amen. I'm going to have Soteris come up and close for us, if you would. And I just want to thank you all for listening. I want to thank Pastor Terrell for allowing me to do this. And I just pray a blessing on everyone that's listening by however you're watching or listening today. And I just pray God's speed on you and his blessing in your life. But keep your eyes upon Jesus. Amen.
Lord, thank you for good message, Lord, and good message. That's what we needed to hear, Lord. And I want to thank you, praise you, Heavenly Father, for take heed to this. Put it down deep in our hearts, O Lord, and practice it. And practice it, Lord. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, that O Lord, that sometimes it says the corn of wheat needs to die before it will bear fruit. And we want to thank you, Lord, to die to ourselves as well, Lord, to the flesh. Say yes to the Spirit. And we want to thank you, praise you, Heavenly Father, for victory. Thank you, Lord, for blessing every person, O Lord. Let them receive it. And let the perspective change, we pray, in the name of Jesus. And let us focus unto him who holds the future. His name is Jesus. His name is Lord. After all, he gave his life for each and every one of us. He gave us life. He died. He rose again on the third day, that we may have life ourselves and have it more abundantly. And we want to thank you, praise you, Heavenly Father, for victory. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood, so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the webcast of Pastor Bill Chacon. This message was entitled, I Am a Miracle. Some Christians hold the view that there are many ways to heaven. However, the blame must be laid at the feet of preachers who fail to speak the truth from the pulpit because they want to fit in with the changing norms of society and be politically correct. The world has become soft and tolerant of the things that God hates, and sinners need godly men and women to tell them the truth. Many years ago, Pastor Bill reached a low part in his life and was contemplating suicide because he had taken his eyes off the Lord. At the bottom of the pit, Bill learned he could get a hold of Jesus, and the Son of God would pick him up and guide him out of the mess. He found his connection to real life, not the fantasy of lies advertised by the devil. Although he continued to hit bumps in the road of life, Jesus got Bill through them all, and today he has everything desired out of life because he chose to focus on the Lord, and the music that was such a big part of his life has become a conduit for evangelism. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1891. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.